Man, that's amazing. You may be seated. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And you know, that just listening to those two, I'd never heard those two verses in that psalm before today. And I was thinking about how it just so perfectly tied into where we've been in Philippians chapter 3. Because Paul is writing a letter to people who had no covenant promise. And what I mean by that, back, if you go all the way back in the Old Testament, there are many promises that God made with his people. You go back to Genesis chapter 12, when he first had this, he made a promise that he gave to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, this he gives more clarity on what this covenant looks like. And so he made a covenant with the nation of Israel. But as Paul is writing Philippians chapter 3, he's writing to a group of people who were not part of the nation of Israel. But the beautiful thing that had taken place was that Jesus Christ had come and had died. And what happened through Christ is as Paul has been teaching the Philippians, man, he has brought all of us near to him, whether we had a covenant promise or not. In fact, through Christ, we now have a covenant promise that we can know God and we can belong to him. And so in this first part of this series, we were looking at the first couple of verses in Philippians chapter 3, and there were teachers, false teachers that were coming in and they were saying, yeah, we know, yeah, you're saved by grace through faith in the work of Christ, but you also have to do this. And so what Paul was saying was like, no, it's not like Christ plus this, it's Christ plus nothing. And so he told him, he said, put no confidence in the flesh. They were coming in saying, okay, you guys need to be circumcised and all that. And he's like, no, we are the circumcision. You know, you don't, that those old ways, those aren't the new ways. In Christ, we can come near. Well, he goes on to share a little bit of his story and how he changed. He said, my confidence is not in who I used to be, though I had a lot to be confident about. He said, no, he said, I've counted all the past, anything that I've accomplished up to this point, I've counted it as loss. In fact, he said that it's trash. It's rubbish when compared to this new passion he has to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection. And he's not saying that nothing else matters, but he's saying that in comparison, it doesn't matter. Because when Christ becomes our obsession, it touches on every area of life. It touches on how we view justice. It touches on how we view righteousness. It impacts our marriages. It impacts how we parent. It impacts how we work, our ethics. It literally, as we pursue Christ and our obsession is Christ, knowing him and the power of his resurrection, it literally touches everything. Every area of life. And we've been talking about this. And so Paul said, you know what I've done? He said, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. He said, yet I press on to make him my own because he's made me his own. He said, I forget what's behind me, both the good and the bad, and I strive forward. I ferociously pursue the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, which comes back to it's knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection. So we've been breaking this down. And so if you've missed that, you can go on YouTube / Idaho Grace. We got all that stuff in there. You can check that out. But I want to tie this up because he comes out of this to verse 15 and he shifted from saying, here's where I'm at. Here's what God's calling me to do. And in essence, he's saying, do this. And he says in verse 15, he says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And so that, first of all, reveals that maturity happens in this. There's a maturity. Aren't you thankful for maturity, by the way? Oh, come on. I got at least one guy. He's with me, man. I am thankful that all that I thought I knew wasn't all that there was to know. And I've grown. In fact, you know, I was conducting a wedding not too long. It's actually been a few years ago. In the wedding, I made some comment, you know, as I'm giving them advice, I said to the groom, I said, there is coming a day when the sweet little girl's not going to agree with you on something and you guys are going to go at it and you're going to wonder what happened, the sweet little girl you married. And he interrupted me right out loud and said, it's never going to happen. And my response was, you'll see. And sure enough, 3 months later, they're in my office. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But man, okay, for instance, if you're married and you've been, I don't care if you've been married 3 months, only 3 months, you still have grown in maturity in 3, I promise you. If you've been married for 3 years, for 30 years, I could call Faith Dawson up here. I mean, listen, Faith and Bernie Dawson, man, a beautiful example. I can guarantee you she's still learning. Well, okay, she's not. Bernie's still learning. No, we mature, and I'm thankful for maturity. And so he said, you know this whole thing, he said, let those of her who are mature think this way. But then he goes on, he said, and if in anything you think otherwise, I love this. God will reveal that to you. God is going to be faithful to help you grow. And we talked a few weeks ago that what happens in the middle matters, and what happens in the middle is this maturity. Now, he adds this in verse 16. He said, only let us hold true to what we've attained. And what he's saying is, don't just always be drifting just because another teacher comes in or a new bestseller shows up on the shelves or you listen to a new idea in a podcast. And he's saying, hold fast to what you've attained. Don't throw away what you do know about God and exchange it for what you don't know because you just want something new. Because we're fascinated with the new. For example, you know, Pastor Jason standing there in the back. I love this guy, but he's got on my nerves this week. I'm just going to be honest. He got a new phone, and he will not stop bragging about his new phone. I mean, he literally is obsessed with his new phone. He's like, oh man, this is awesome. He sent me a text. Oh, I'm getting a case for this phone, and like even on the case, it'll show video. I mean, he won't shut up. I'm like, dude, okay, you got a phone. Way to go, woohoo. You know, I'm like, go, you know, come on. He's obsessed. In fact, he's taking a picture of me right now on his new phone. Anyway, no, you know, it's interesting though. We love new, and so what happens is many times when we run into something we don't like, we trade in what we know and don't like for something new because we think it's a way to escape what God's calling us to do right now. And that's what Paul's saying. He's like, no, hold fast to what you've attained. But maturity is important. God's going to reveal things to you. How does God reveal things to us? Well, we talked last week a little bit about this. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And can I tell you that he also does the same thing for his children? He convinces us that this is sin. He convinces us that this is righteous, and he convicts us this is the right judgment call to make. This is the right decision. He gives us discernment. But he also does this through other people, and this is what Paul jumps into, and this is where I'm going to spend my time this morning. As he keeps on talking about this, he says in verse 17, brothers, and he raises the bar here, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And he's not saying like they're worshiping their belly or even that they worship food. That was an analogy that he's using. They're swayed by whatever they feel, the emotion of the moment. It can be anything. He's saying that, you know, their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But he contrasts that in verse 20 when he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to understand that what he's getting ready to do here, he's tying the bow on what he introduced in Philippians 1:6, where he said that that God will be faithful to finish the work that he began in us at the day of Christ. He says this in verse 21, the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so, I mean, there's a lot there that I could go a number of different directions, but what I want to do this morning is tie up this series by looking at a practical application of this, something I think is missing far too often in the church. And so let me say this. You've heard me say this, and I'm going to say it again. What happens here on Sunday morning is important. As we gather together corporately, there's something powerful that happens in worship. But this should not be all that there is. In fact, I would say this, the growth happens mostly outside of what happens on Sunday. And that's very important. This should happen. And so I'm going to, if you're taking notes, you got a sermon guide and you want to write this down, here's the big point that I'm going to be discussing today, because we're talking about maturity, We're talking about what God does in his faithfulness to reveal what this looks like as we're pursuing Christ to mature, to come to maturity. He's going to finish the work one day, but the good news is we're not going to be the same person here when the work is finished as we were when we began. There's a maturity, there's sanctification. It's the process by which we become more and more like Jesus Christ. It's going to happen in the middle. And so he talks about what this looks like. My big point is this: we will mature as we actively engage in discipleship. We will mature as we actively engage in discipleship. And so if you've been around Grace for a while, you know this is what we talk about this a lot. We talk about taking next steps. Our mission is unite people Jesus and help them take their next steps with him. This is something that we talk about and we want to live this out. But I think for many of us, we don't know what this looks like. What is discipleship? Well, you know, Paul, he raised the bar. He said, listen, just imitate me. Now, he's not saying, I just want to create a bunch of Paul clones for the church, right? You know, hey, look at me. I want you to be just like me so we all agree on everything. No, that's not what he's saying. In fact, he says this at various places in other epistles. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ, which what he's saying is imitate me to the extent that I follow Christ. And not only that, he says, don't just look at me, look at others. Look at others. Follow the example that we've set for you. I think this is very, very important. And I want us to understand the importance of discipleship, because I have a feeling, guys, that there are a lot of people in this room who I've been there myself at times, where you want to grow, but man, for some reason, you have this faulty idea that you need to grow in a vacuum, that it's you and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to show you everything. It's going to be this magical transfer of knowledge. Many times, God uses godly people to help us grow. And so I want to look at the ingredients of discipleship, because this is important. You know, ingredients matter in a recipe, right? Right? Come on. I know this because a few years ago, I had a lady, and man, she's a great baker. Anytime she would bring me something, I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. Well, we had one of the 55 plus, our Oaks 55 plus group met for breakfast. And I'm gonna tell you right now, if you don't ever go to one, if you hear about one of those, you need to show up. And you're like, well, I'm 40. Dye your hair, shave your head. I don't care, just show up. I mean, because it's gonna be worth it. And so she had made a dish, and she came to my office and said, man, not a lot of people took this dish, but hey, it just means there's more for you. And I'm like, hey, this is great. And so she brought me, you ever hear of monkey bread? Okay, she brought me this monkey bread. It just, thank the Lord for monkey bread. Anyway, she left and literally was sitting there at my desk, and you know, I have pretty strong willpower, and so I last about 42 seconds. And then I jumped in and listen, I've been to a lot of church potlucks. I've had some nasty food in my time. I'm just telling you right now. And you don't believe me? It happens. And so I took a bite, and I'm not exaggerating. It was the worst thing I ever tasted. I literally grabbed my wastebasket, spit it out. It was terrible. And I'm immediately like, I know this sweet lady's gonna ask me, hey, Pastor Keith, what did you think of my monkey bread? And I'm like, I can't lie. And so I'm like, now that's some monkey bread. I don't know. I mean, how do you respond to that? And so sure enough, the phone rings about 30 minutes later. I answer the phone and it's her. And she says, Pastor Keith, did you try the monkey bread? I'm like, yeah. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And I wanted to say me too, but I didn't. She said, I got home and realized why nobody wanted my monkey bread. She said, instead of putting in cinnamon, I had sprinkled in cayenne pepper. Dude, I'm gonna tell you right now, if you've ever thought about adding cayenne pepper to monkey bread, don't do it. It's terrible, the worst thing. Listen, ingredients matter. And I think many times we've tried to make, or we have assumed that discipleship is something other than what it is. And so we'll throw this in, we throw this in. And what happens is we kind of drift, but we don't actually grow. But there are four things, and this is at minimum four things. There very well can be more that as we're reading scripture, we can see, but there are four things as we practically apply where we've been the last few weeks that I want to leave with you here, four ingredients of discipleship. The first thing is this, it's relational vulnerability. Relational vulnerability. Because as I look at verse 17, what we see in verse 17, he says join, so that implies an activity, a connection. To join, you have to be present. It's not like something that happens at a distance. So like, for example, if you're like, well, I'm discipled by C.S. Lewis. I'm like, no, you're not. I love C.S. Lewis. I learned from C.S. Lewis. I'm not discipled by C.S. Lewis. He's dead. All right? So if he's discipling you, we got other things we need to talk about, okay? So you know, a lot of times we're like, well, I can just go to books and that's going to be my discipleship. No, when he talks about this imitation, it connotes this whole thing of joining. There's a connection here. You know, he when he says imitate me, there's something to this. There's a relationship aspect. But I think many times we stop short when it comes to discipleship, and it's like, hey man, if I can just, you know, sit down with this person and get to know them, and they can get to know me, that's discipleship. No, it's not just establishing a relationship. There's a vulnerability that takes us deeper. There's a humility that happens. You see, many times we do not grow and we will not allow discipleship to take place. We short-circuit it because we don't want to admit that we have problems. Yet, all through scripture, James 5:16 just comes to mind. It's as we confess our sins one to another that we experience healing. There is something powerful that happens in this vulnerability where we humble ourselves. Pride is our worst enemy when it comes to pursuing Christ, knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection. Pride is anathema to us growing. But it's not just this relationship, it's not just relational vulnerability. It has to include, this is a very important ingredient, I want you to write this down, it has to include truth. It has to come back and be anchored in the Word of God. You see, this is why the Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3 can say, join in imitating me. And he can say this, he can say this not because, hey, I've got everything figured out, because just a few verses before he has said, I am not perfect. He's saying that I'm on this journey as well. But what he can do is he can take, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. There is truth to be gained. There is truth to be attained. And I will say this, when we make discipleship anything and we put any other ingredients in there and we leave out this ingredient of truth that comes back to the Word of God, it's not true discipleship. Listen, I am all for pragmatic counsel. Pragmatism is so very, very important. But what we absolutely need to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, as we're on this journey towards being transformed, as we grow, we will grow in response not just to someone's common sense. We're going to grow as we understand the Word, as it is open, and the Word is so very important. I was talking to a guy earlier this week who's meeting with Will Sprunt, who's our director of discipleship. And we were just commenting about things. And I told him, I said, hey, there's one thing you need to know about Will. In fact, I'm just going to tell all of you about this. He's not here, so he's probably not even watching. If you are, Will, you can forgive me. Will has zero problem getting under your skin. Amen. You just heard from someone that's been discipled by Will. I'm just telling you right now. And here's the thing, when it comes to Will, it's not that he just wants to get on your last nerve, though he can do that. It's the reason why he does this is because he genuinely loves you and he's concerned for you to grow and to move past and not just to make you comfortable. And so many times what Will does, he takes you back to the truth. And we don't always like truth. We want to like truth. We desire truth until it actually conflicts with us. And, you know, Will can just be like that little kid that just finds that bruise and like, dun, 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 dun. And there have been people that come to me, it's like, man, he's getting on my last nerve. I can't handle him. And many times, listen, you can have a personality difference. We all have personality differences. You can like one person better than you like somebody just because you're more compatible. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about that there are times when in discipleship, when truth is revealed, we don't like what we see. And I was telling this guy, I said, listen, I promise you at some point, as you're studying the word and he's gonna be putting you on the spot, you're gonna be tempted to walk away. You want to walk away because you don't like what you're hearing. I said, don't do it, because what you need to grow is truth. The word, coming back to the word of God. This is such an important part of discipleship. And so when Paul's saying, imitate me, look to this example. It's this watching, it's this observing, but there's also an investment of truth, an intentional investment of truth that happens in discipleship. But that also goes along with another key ingredient, which is accountability. This is, to me, very, very, very important that as we, I said accountability, I meant application. So right now my guys up there are like, what? Wrong word, application. It's application. Application, it's one thing to hear something. It's another thing, you know, to see something and to say, I want something. But we can want, we can desire, we can see something all day long, but unless we take that next step and apply what it is that God has given us, we will not grow. And this is why, again, he says, hold fast to what you've attained. And I want to pause here. I want to come back to this whole new idea. Many times the reason we want to grab more and more new is because, man, we have trouble walking in the light that God's given us. And listen to me, church. Listen, this is very important. The Holy Spirit will never allow you to move forward if you're not responding in obedience to what he's calling you to right now. And many times, and I've been here, I haven't liked what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. And so I want to distract myself from this, and so I'm just going to pray more. I want to read the scripture more. I'm going to do more of this. And the whole time he's saying, I didn't ask you to do more of this. You're spinning your wheels. You're not going anywhere. Listen, we have to be faithful to the light we have. And that's why this application, it's one thing to see, to watch, to desire, but we apply. And you've probably, if you've been around here any time at all, you've heard me say information plus application equals transformation. And what the Holy Spirit does is he convinces us of sin and righteousness, but then he convinces us of judgment. And what we have the responsibility then to do is to move in obedience to what he's called us to do. Application is absolutely important. The last thing is this, it's mutual accountability. Mutual accountability. And I think this is very important. I can't disciple a lot of people. I just, with everything that's going on, I have people that I invest in, that I disciple. But you know, a lot of people are like, hey, I want Pastor Keith to disciple me. And I'm just saying, by and large, I just don't have the capacity to disciple everybody the way that we're talking about discipleship here. But when God has given me the opportunity to invest in someone, and then even this, because I have people that disciple me as well, and as that happens, there's always something important that has to happen. There has to be an agreement that we will respond and that we are going to be open to the accountability. If we're not willing to take the next steps that we're called to take, there has to be the willingness to call each other on this. And man, I've done some counseling across the years, and I'm not talking about discipleship, I'm talking about counseling. And I've learned that this is very important. And by the way, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not a great counselor. I'm just not. I think I have a genuine, deep desire to see people change, but I'm gonna be honest with you, God's still working me, okay? So this is on me, it's not anything else. I'm just not super patient. And you're like, oh man, we're at the wrong church. I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. And so because of that, I'm like, I, I, I just struggle sometimes. I'm like, I don't understand why we're not applying what we're talking about. And so when we come in, I'm like, hey, I said, I usually say, hey, listen, here's what I want us to do, man. We'll talk. We get one vent session. We'll vent, get everything out. You tell me what you don't like about her. You tell me what you don't like about him. Let's get on the table, but let's move forward. I mean, because we're here because we want to move forward, right? Because I honestly, if you just want to vent, literally, I am the worst. I'm like John Maxwell. It's like, you come to me, we're going to both walk out a door with a gun to our head. I mean, we're just, you know. And so there are times that we just want to vent. And listen to me. This is important. Discipleship is not having the ability to vent. I'm not saying that isn't ever part of that. Sometimes it is. But when discipleship does not include accountability, that's an issue. And I want to say something to you. The people that love you most are the people that are willing to tell you what you need to hear, not the ones that will always affirm you and pat you on the back and tell you what you want to hear. And many times we've missed out on growth because we've tried to surround ourselves with people who tell us what we want to hear. That doesn't work. Discipleship is a relationship that is us being vulnerable about how, where, and how we need to grow. It involves a willingness to submit to truth, to apply the truth, and then if we're not doing it, giving the person that's discipling us the ability to say, "Hey, what's your problem?" And I will tell you guys. The people that have shot straight with me the most, probably the most painful conversations that I have had across the years is when people disagreed with me strongly, and they did not do so in an unloving way. Now they shot really straight, but what happened as a result of that was growth. I would not be here today without this ongoing maturity that did not happen in a vacuum where, God, I'm just gonna open your word and you're gonna show me everything to do. Listen, God will reveal himself through the word. But he's going to use many times people to be part of this. You know, it's interesting because what I hear a lot is, well, Pastor Keith, how do I find somebody to disciple me? Which is a good question. And so, man, I'm going to close very practically here today. That's a good question, but it's not the best question. Because the best question to ask is this. We're on this journey. We're in the middle somewhere. Some of you have just started following Christ. And I'm talking to believers here this morning. You've just started this journey. Maybe you're somewhere in here. You don't know exactly where you are, but you genuinely have a desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. But you know you haven't fully matured. You haven't arrived. The question to ask first is not, how do I find someone to disciple me? The question you have to ask first is, where is God calling me to grow right now? And the reason why that is important is because that's going to impact the second question you have to ask. If that's the case, who is someone that I can imitate, that I can learn from, that's already growing and has grown in that area? And it's funny because I think a lot of times we expect that somebody, God's just going to lay it on somebody's heart and they're going to come to us and say, I want to disciple you. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. That has never happened to me. I have never, ever had anybody come up to me and say, Keith, I want to disciple you. Never happened. You know how discipleship happened, how I've grown? Is I've gone to them. Many years ago, Brian Taylor's here, Brian and Jamie. They're planting E3 Church. Guys, man, if you're not praying for Brian and Jamie, pray for them. E3, getting ready to launch in September. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with them. But Brian, what was it? It was probably 2009 or 2010. It was before I came here as pastor. Brian came to me, and he said, Keith, I need to grow, man. He said, can we just sit down and start growing together? And I knew Brian, but that's what started a deep friendship. This guy, he literally is closer than a brother to me. But it started with this. And here's the deal. I'm going to tell you, Brian did not come to me because I got everything figured out. I will tell you that right now. In fact, if you don't believe me, go to Brian. He will tell you I don't have everything figured out. I've learned from him just as he's learned from me. But what happened, Brian knew, is that here's an area that in which I need to grow. And Keith, I think I can learn from you. And I want to take the pressure off. Sometimes it's like, oh, I need to find the perfect Christian. He has the whole package. I mean, they've got Koine Greek down. They can read the Aramaic and translate it. They got all the end time prophecy charts lining the basement. And I mean, they've got their act together. Dude, listen, you might find them, man, more power to you if that's the case. But don't overlook the average Christian that you can learn from. Because you know what? We can learn theology from dead guys and their books. But sometimes one of the best things that you can do is to find a Christian husband. And you're like, man, I don't know what it looks like to love my wife like Christ loved the church. But dude, that guy knows what it looks like. And what we do is we, you know, come on, ladies, you know it's true. Does that Proverbs 31 lady exist anywhere perfectly, like in every area? I don't think so. No, there's a mark there. But what we do is we look, there's an area of growth that we have. It's like, you know what, that's a lady that's growing. And so you hang out, you go over to her house, and you learn from her, you watch, and you observe, and then you're like, man, I want to put some of that into practice. You pick their brain. In fact, let me just give you something. You literally can put this into action this week. I guarantee you there are people here like, I want to be discipled. And I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how to do this. God, send somebody to me, and it hasn't happened. You're like, God, did you forget me? No, he's saying get off your butt and go do something about it. And so what I want you to do is ask God where you want me to grow, and then find somebody, and what you, I want to give you some advice. Invite them out for lunch or coffee or something like that. And by the way, if you do that, pay for it. That is free. That's where you start. Don't be a cheapskate, because you'll need to grow in that area too. And when you meet with them, they're probably going to be like, I have no idea why this person is meeting with me. And so tell them. Say, I've seen something in your life that really stands out to me. This is an area in which I need to grow. And be vulnerable. Say, this is where I am. I don't know what it looks. Let's just use this whole thing. I don't know what it looks like to be a Christian dad. I don't know what it looks like to lead my children for Christ. And guys, I'm gonna tell you, we're like some of the worst at this. We have these weird, deep insecurities that we don't want to ask other guys for help because we think it makes us look weak. No, the strongest guys, the most secure guys, are the ones that can ask for help and say, hey, show me what to do. And so let me just give you advice. What you do is when you do that, you come in there. You just tell them, here's what I'm looking for, and come with some questions. Because most people, the ordinary average guy, you sit down, they're not going to be like, I don't know. So ask questions. Don't be just like this robin. Put some food in. I don't want to move. Just you do it. No. Ask questions. And I want to give you some more. Man, this is good. This is practical, guys. This is good. Take a notebook with you and write stuff down. Because you know, you're like, well, I got a memory like a steel trap. Yeah, right. Listen, I think I do too. And you guys 2 weeks ago cannot tell me what I preached on. If you put me on the spot, I might struggle. Let's just be, listen, we got to write, there's something about writing it down, and not only that, then taking it home and actually looking and feels like, oh yeah, this is what I need to do. And then you actually apply this. Now here's the deal. When you meet with somebody, you ask somebody to disciple you, or you sit down for the first time, after the first conversation, you might be like, nah, this isn't right. And that's okay. You got to know somebody, you got to ask questions. But here's the thing, it might be somebody that you want to follow up, and you just say, man, can we meet again? And by the way, when we're not discipled by the same person for our entire life. Now, we might look at some, we might always have a connection with somebody, but I've had a number of people, depending on the season, disciple me in different areas. But I think it's important that we become very intentional about this. Find someone that we can imitate. Maturity must happen. Growth must happen. What happens in the middle matters. And it's part of this is we have to have the want to. We have to move forward. Now, let me just say this. If somebody reaches out to you and says, hey, I've already picked on Faith. I'll pick on her again. Hey, Faith. I want to sit down with you, and I want to pick your brain on whatever. It would be very easy. I'm not saying Faith to do this, but if somebody comes to us, you're like, I don't have all the answers. And so it'd be easy for you to immediately say, okay, I don't know enough. I can't do this. I don't have the right thing to say. And to say, you know what, actually, you need to go meet with somebody else. Don't do that. Don't do that, because a lot of us sit around and we come to church, or you know, we come to service, and we are bloated because we're just taking in. We're never passing on. Because discipleship, there's something for us. Not only should we be imitating someone, we should also be living a life worthy of imitation and passing something on. And I will leave you with this. One of the greatest ways to learn is to pass on what you are currently learning. as you teach it, as you say, I don't have it all figured out, but here's what God's been showing me. There's something powerful that happens. Well, man, I've blown it. I have too many failures in my past. I am not the person you should be coming to. Dude, you're the perfect person to go to. What teaches the greatest lessons? Failure. Honestly, you talk about all your successes, people are like, okay, yeah, braggart. You know, you talk about failure like, oh man, yeah, what happened with that? We learn from this. Listen, God has called us to grow. And I'm telling you, this whole thing of discipleship, man, we are going to mature as we engage in active discipleship. It's important for discernment because Paul goes on, he finishes out by saying, man, there are people who've taken a different path. They're enemies of the cross. I don't want to go down that road. You don't want to go down that road. Discipleship is so important for discernment. But not only that, I think there's something that we got to understand. Discipleship reminds us who we really are. It keeps us grounded to the truth. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And it keeps us coming back. Discipleship also provides us with a proper perspective, and it gives us a view that we don't normally have. Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. There's something powerful there. You know, I was watching the show it's been years ago, King of Queens. Anybody ever watch that show, King of Queens? Kevin James is hilarious. Anyway, there was this, the character that, the wife's dad lives in the basement, and he's played by Jerry Stiller. And Jerry comes up one day from the basement, and he looks at the calendar and goes, huh, it looks like Jesus is coming back at 2:30 on Wednesday afternoon. She's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, it says right here, Jesus is coming back at 2:30. She's like, no, that's Jesus, the landscape guy that's coming to look at the sprinklers that we installed. He's like, oh, okay. You know, I saw that, and dude, it just cracked me. You know, just that kind of humor just gets me. And I laughed my head off, and then I thought, you know what? What if we really knew when Jesus was coming back? What if we knew that he was coming back on this day? Would it change the way we live? Would it impact our faith? Would it impact what we say, how we live? I think it would. What we're reminded, discipleship is not intended to make us perfect people. It's going to happen at the day of Christ. Discipleship is intended to mature us so we can in turn mature others. We need to grow, others need to grow. Until Jesus Christ comes back, we're faithful. We run the race. So this week, here's your homework. I want you to leave here. I want you to ask God, where do I need to grow? Second question, based on where I need to grow, who is it? Look around. Man, it might be in your family. It might be somebody you work with. It might be somebody in your small group. Who is somebody that I can pick their brain on what this looks like? And let's just see what God does as we take those next steps with him. Father, thank you for what you're doing. I can't wait to see what you're going to do in this body of believers as we walk in obedience to your word and to your will. Dear God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that convinces us, that is growing us, that is changing us. But God, may we not miss the fact that your Holy Spirit many times is working through godly men and women who we can watch and learn from and who can invest in us. But God, may we never forget that we too are becoming, just because the fact we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ's work, we are godly ourselves, not based on who we are, but God, you are calling us to something, and we have a responsibility also to pass it on to somebody else. And so God, I'm praying this week that you would challenge us on our next steps, that you would challenge us if we don't know what that looks like, to find somebody that will help us take those next steps. But Lord, as we learn, may you convict us and convince us of the importance of passing that on. And so God, for what you're going to continue to do in your church through discipleship, as your Holy Spirit moves and works and perfects and matures us, we thank you for this. I can't wait to see the fruit that comes from your church living in obedience. And so God, for what you've done, for what you have yet to do, we thank you for this. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Man, it's great to have you guys here this morning on your way out. If you came prepared to give, we're not passing offering plates. We've got buckets on either side of the two doors here. Drop it in. But you're dismissed. Can't wait to see you next week. Have a great week.